Yo, it's the one. I'm Greg Gutfeld. Boys, it's snowing outside. I haven't gone out in a while, but it's coming down, and I chose to eat at the cafeteria where I think I might have gotten food poisoning. But anyway, who cares about me? My guest is an author and a lecturer and a consultant. He's a well-respected security consultant, and he's well-respected because for 6 years, from age like 15 to 21, he was a forger, an imposter, and a confidence trickster. So he was basically, he went from the bad side of the law to the good side of the law. And his life was so interesting, they made it into a movie called Catch Me If You Can, in which Leonardo DiCaprio played Mr. Frank Abagnale. And he's now been like working with the FBI for over 40 years, basically helping them catch people like him. Frank, how are you?
Great. Great to be on your show, Greg.
Excellent, excellent. So what's it like to have Leo play you? I don't think he's as handsome as you.
I thought he did an amazing job. Seeing the fact that he was about, 28 at the time he made the film, and he was playing the role of a 16-year-old boy, then he was 17, then he was 19. Mm-hmm. I thought he did an amazing job of playing the role.
Mm-hmm. You know, I was impressed by some of the tricks that you employed. I mean, and one of the things I learned from Catch Me If You Can is that nothing works as well as a uniform, right?
Yeah, uniforms are very, very powerful. And that's kind of what started it. You know, I would go into banks and try and cash a check, and I was just this kid, and most of the time they turned me down. Then I was walking up 42nd Street one day, and I saw this airline crew come out of a hotel, and I thought to myself, wow, if I could get one of those uniforms and then walk in the bank, I bet they'd cash my check. And sure enough, I never got a no after that. The uniform was so powerful.
Yeah. You know what's funny that I've noticed by extension from a uniform is when I write for The Five, I use a clipboard. And I go to the gym. And the reason why I do it, because it has a back so I can write hard on it with my Sharpie. So
right.
I hold a clipboard when I'm either on the subway or at the gym, people immediately assume that I work there.
Exactly.
The clipboard, if I stood out in front of a bar, I could take the cover charge. Like, I could stand in front of anywhere and take a cover charge just by holding a clipboard. What is it about the human brain that doesn't even question these kind of tricks? Like the idea, like a uniform.
Yeah. Unfortunately, people believe what they read, but they also believe what they see. And if you look like you belong there and you look official, you know, so many times I proved that point by going into restricted areas just because I had a suit on, carrying a clipboard, mm-hmm. or looking like I belong there. And people believe you are. They also feel intimidated. They don't want to question someone. They're afraid you might be someone very important. So, unfortunately, it's very easy to fool people. And people basically are honest, and because they're honest, they don't really have a deceptive mind, so they don't sit there thinking about, well, could this guy not be real or this guy not a pilot? Those things kind of never enter their mind.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I do have a deceptive mind. I think you have to be imaginative, right? And like, we could be imaginative without acting on it, but you kind of acted on it, right?
Yeah, I mean, I just, you know, it started out for me as being a runaway who ended up in the streets in New York. And back then in the 60s, people were getting into drugs or Haight-Ashbury or being a hippie. And I just thought to myself, I have to find a way to survive. And so I started writing checks, and I realized impersonating the pilot got me free rides on airplanes, staying in hotels for free. And then I ended up working in a hospital as a doctor, and then I practiced law in Louisiana, and then I ended up writing about $2.5 million worth of checks before I was caught by the age of 21 in France. Mm-hmm. And it just started out as survival. Then people started chasing me, and I was thinking, how do I stay ahead of the people that are chasing me? Mm-hmm. Until it all got caught. I think I always knew I'd get caught. Mm-hmm. I was smart enough to know that I couldn't get away with it forever. And of course, eventually I was.
Yeah. And so what you did was, in a weird way, you kind of got away with it in the sense that you said, hey, I'll help you catch people like me. That was kind of the transition into the law-abiding part of your life.
Yeah, you know, I'll be 70 years old next month, and mm-hmm. when I look back on my life, I know that people are fascinated by what I did 50 years ago between 16 and 21. But I look back on my life, and I am just amazed that I've been able to work for the FBI for 42 years. Mm-hmm. I've been able to be married to my one and only wife for over 40 years. I brought three wonderful sons in the world, who one is an FBI agent mm-hmm. who's celebrating 12 years in the Bureau. My life, to me, has just been amazing about what happened afterwards, which proves to me and anyone else that no matter what happens in your life, no matter what mistakes you make, you know, if you want to really change your life, we live in a great country where you can get up, brush yourself off, and start all over again. And I hope that people look at my life years from now and look at that you can redeem your life, you can do something positive in life, but you have to want to. You have to make the effort.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think you're the only person I've ever talked to who served time in a French prison, a Swedish prison, and an American prison. Can you compare and contrast in terms of, like, I don't know, maybe is it food quality, bed quality?
No, here's the interesting thing. The French prisons were extremely horrible. You slept on a blanket, not a mattress. There was a hole in the bathroom to go to the bathroom. Ugh. There was no plumbing, no electricity. The food was just bread and water, bread and soup, things like that. Mm. The Swedish prisons were like going to the Holiday Inn and spending the night. And the American prisons were somewhere in between, where you had movies on the weekend, you had tennis courts, you had recreation, things like that. But the interesting thing is, when I go to France now, I don't double park, I don't jaywalk. So I think of all the three of them, the one that had the most lasting impression on me was the French prison.
Wow. So your prison, that's a very good point that a lot of modern minds won't want to hear, that actually harsh prison life is probably the best prevention.
It's ridiculous that people today go to prison and live better than people on the street who would never think about breaking the law. They have air conditioning, they're fed, they're taken care of, they have medical, they have educational. It's kind of ridiculous that we do that. Instead, prison should be a place where you go to be punished.
Mm-hmm. You know, you mentioned that your son's in the FBI and you work in the FBI. Is the animosity over Trump exaggerated? I have friends in the FBI that just can't stand him. And I'm trying to go, like, is this all much ado about nothing?
Yeah.
Or is there a real...
I don't believe that. I have the opportunity to also teach at the FBI Academy and have for many, many years actually taught my own son when he went through the academy. I think the men and women of the FBI are the most amazing people I've ever encountered in my life. They love their country. They love their family. They're the most ethical people I've ever met. You take a handful of people who I think in the high-up management got politically involved where they shouldn't have got politically mm-hmm. involved. I mean, we haven't had a director involved in politics since Hoover. And that causes a bad reputation for everyone else. But I think overall, you know, most FBI agents are conservative. Most FBI agents believe in law and order. So I don't believe there's the animosity that the media would like you to believe there is against the president of the United States.
Yeah, I kind of get that feeling that it's so – whenever I sense kind of an emotional panic in the media, I know that it's exaggerated. I want to go back to your I remember one of the things that you did when you're in your criminal life, which I thought was kind of a pretty cool trick, was what you did to bank deposit slips. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Everything I did, I kind of ad-libbed. So yeah. I had gone in a bank and I basically opened a checking account with a phony identification for the purpose of the bank mailing me 200 printed checks with that name and I could go out and cash them. So I opened the account, and the new accounts person came back, gave me a receipt for the deposit. She told me my printed checks would come in about 10 days. Mm-hmm. So I was very young, so I was always inquisitive, and I asked her, what about deposit slips? And she said, oh, no, they come from the check printer. They'll be in the back of the checkbook with your name and address, et cetera. I said, well, what do I do in the meantime? She said, well, go over to that table and help yourself to a blank deposit slip and just write your account number in I gave you. Mm-hmm. Use those till you get your printed ones. So I walked over and took a stack of them. I went back sitting in the hotel room looking at them, and I said, I wonder. So I went out and bought what was called a magnetic encoder, and I encoded my account number the bank had assigned to me the day before in the bottom of every one of these blanks. Then I went back to the bank, put them on the shelf in the lobby, and everyone who came in put their money in my account.
Wow. That's amazing. And wrong, but it's amazing. It's very, 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 very smart. You know, the other thing that I thought was like how some of these tricks are so simple, but it goes, it plays off the human fear of being, I don't know, seen as doing something wrong. So like you, I think I don't know where I read this about, you were talking about how you could just put an out of order sign on a Dropbox.
I did that actually at the airport in Boston. I basically saw a bunch of people in the evening walking up from the stores and the businesses in the airport, and they were putting their night deposit bag in the night deposit box, and they'd stick their key in, open it, drop it down the slot, make sure it went down, closed it. So I got this idea the next night. I had rented a bank guard uniform from a costume store, and I stood by the night deposit box, and I put a sign over it that said, "Night box out of order. Please leave deposits with guard." And everyone did. And the ironic thing about that, Steven Spielberg actually filmed that scene in an airport with Leo, but all these cameras and lights and crew were all standing around shooting this scene, which they didn't make it to the movie. But a woman actually came up with the night bag and was giving it to Leo. And then Leo said, "Cut." And then he said, "Everybody, see how he did it?" You
know, I mean, that's amazing. So now you're on the other side. Okay, so... And you give advice in lectures and consult the government to prevent people like you from swindling. You believe pretty firmly that it's gotten way easier for swindlers in terms of ID theft and other scams, right?
Yeah, it's actually amazing, but it's 4,000 times easier to do today than what I did, say, 50 years ago. And, you know, a perfect example of that, 50 years ago for me to print checks, I had to study for 8 months to learn how to operate a Heidelberg printing press. There were color separations, negatives, plates, typesetting. Today, you just open a laptop, you go to a diagram of a check, you pick a company's corporate website, you put it on the check. We live in a too much information world, so if you call the company and ask them their wiring instructions, they tell you where they bank and their account number, you put that on the check. It is so easy to do today because of technology. Technology breeds crime. It always has, and there will always be people that will use technology in a negative self-serving way. So it's a lot easier to do today what I did 50 years ago.
What do you have any tips for – you know, I always see that it's older people that get scammed and kids or teenagers. I don't know, it's because of I don't know. In one case, you're older and maybe – you don't pay attention as much, but are there tips that you have for people to?
Yeah, as you know, I've been an ambassador to AARP. I work with AARP to help them understand crimes against the elderly. I testify before Congress on their behalf about crimes against the elderly, and I basically write a lot of material, film a lot of videos, do a lot of podcasts that that helps educate elderly folks about not being victimized by sweepstakes scams, internet scams, grandparent scams, etc. But we also find that there are a tremendous amount of millennials who fall for all these scams over the computer as well.
Yeah.
When it comes to protecting your identity, I tell people just to do what I do myself. First of all, I shred everything, but I use a micro-cut shredder. That's a shredder that turns paper into confetti or about the size of a piece of rice, and you can't put it back together. I do use a credit monitoring service. I have since the early 90s because I like to be able to look at my own credit as often as I want and make sure my credit is accurate, plus they're monitoring it for me. Third, I don't write a lot of checks today. If I walk into a drugstore and write a check, I have to hand the clerk the check. On the check is my name and address and phone number, my bank's name and address, my account number at that bank, my routing number into that account, my signature on the signature card at the bank, and then they've written down my driver's license number and my date of birth. I don't get the check back. I only get an image of it. Anyone who would see that check along the way before it's destroyed could draft on my bank account or wire money out of my account. And finally, I don't own a debit card. I've never owned a debit card, never allowed my three sons to have one. Every day of my life, I use a credit card, Visa, MasterCard, American Express, Discover card. And every day of my life, I spend the credit card company's money. I don't spend my money, so no one knows where my money is. If someone gets my number and they charge $1 million on my credit card tomorrow, by federal law, my liability is zero. When I pay the bill or part of the bill every month, my credit score goes up. When you use a debit card, every time you use it, you're exposing the money in your account. If they get your money, it takes a great deal of work to try to get your money back. Mm-hmm. And you could use that debit card for the next 10 years, and you'll never raise your credit score by even a point. So it is much better to just use a credit card that takes away a lot of your liability issues. And I always do, like a lot of people, I keep one card that I just use solely for the purpose of my insurance being charged to it, my boat slip being charged to it, so I don't lose that card and then I have to go change all those information. And then I use one card that I use out in public every day and not worried about if it gets has to be canceled.
Oh, that's a great idea. I'm gonna do that. I'm gonna make. You know what? I have to get my wife to cancel the. It's not so much me canceling the debit card. Getting my wife to cancel the debit card. That's the challenge. Because
I understand.
You know, it's like it's amazing. Like you also mentioned, how technology, you know, goes hand in hand with criminal progress. I want to ask you because something happened to me. I don't know if you've ever heard this because it is a version of ID theft, and I had to call Fox Security about this. It's called spoofing. Have you ever heard of this? Where somebody calls someone else, but your number shows up, so it looks like you're calling them. How does this actually happen to me twice?
Because you can manipulate, just like you can manipulate caller ID so that when some elderly person goes over to the phone, it says NYPD is calling, Secret Service is calling, IRS is calling. It's the same way. But now that you said that, my wife just a couple of weeks ago got a call just like that. So she took the number and redialed the number back. Then started reading the Riot Act to this man, telling him, don't ever call me again. And finally, the man said, ma'am, I never called you. And she felt so bad because it was this gentleman whose phone number they used. So that's very common when that happens.
What scares me, and this is what I'm trying to figure out, who did this. The people that they called were people that I knew. So they're two people that were spoofed. It was late at night. It made me think that I had a psychological problem. Like because the next day – one of the people who works at Fox goes, why did you call me at 1 a.m.? And I go, what are you talking about? And she shows me the phone.
Right.
And I'm like oh my God, have I lost my mind? I literally thought that maybe I had a problem. And I go, and I look on my phone, there's no record of me calling her. She's a co-host. And she's like going in. And it was just so eerie. So I immediately called security. And they're like, we really can't do it. I called IT. I called security. They really couldn't do anything about it. Then it happened again to another coworker. And I'm going, okay, so the person that's doing this, do they have – why would they choose – like, why would they choose somebody that I know? Like, is it somebody that has access to my address and my phone? I don't know.
Well, they have – first of all, a lot of the people that do this are not even in this country. They're over in India. They're in Russia. They're in China. And the people who do this work out of boiler rooms, and they have all these numbers and throwaway phones and everything else. And sometimes not most all of the time, they get all of their information from social media. So they know so much about people because they tell them who their friends are, who they befriended on social media, who they know, their mother's name, their father's name, where they're going on vacation.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing the information that people give away on social media. So criminals just use that social media in order to assume their identity or take over someone that identity that they know.
Yeah. They told me that this is what scares me is they said that I would have to get a new phone and a new phone number, and I would have to input all of my address phone numbers again. And I said, no, I'm not going to do that. That's too much work. But then I'm thinking, what if somebody does it again and says something or sends something that could get me into trouble? I was like, I had sleepless nights over this. But I don't think there's the technology there where they could send pictures or stuff like that.
I don't think you need to worry about that. And sometimes these things happen a couple of times and they never happen again.
Yeah.
If I had been in your shoes, I wouldn't cancel all that at this point until it became an actual problem.
Mm-hmm.
But these things are very common, so especially if someone has notoriety and somebody knows their friends have notoriety, that they're more likely to be picked for those kind of things.
Yeah, wow. That was creepy. Are you worried at all about artificial intelligence as that becomes part of our life in our appliances and our self-driving cars? Do you worry?
Absolutely. I mean, when we look around at our house today, just all of the – I do a whole program on the weaknesses in our house, like our security cameras, our Samsung TV, our remote controls, the device you have in your house that you can talk to and ask to order something on Amazon, or you can ask for what's the weather today or what's on TV. Obviously, it can hear you speak. You're asking it a question. It's responding to your question. That they also can listen to everything you're saying in your house. So what happens today, unfortunately, is a lot of technologies are developed very quickly. They're put in the marketplace without ever testing them to see how they would be used in a negative way. And consequently, a lot of those things are very quickly used in a negative way because no one's ever thought it through to figure out how it does. I spend a great deal of my time now working with technology companies so that when they're developing a technology, we try to find every weakness in it and everything that someone could possibly do to use that against the person before we ever put that product in the marketplace. And that's the way all companies should do business.
Yeah, I think at some point, I mean, people are going to be able to take your voice and manipulate it so that you could call your bank. Somebody could use your voice to call your bank and issue something. But I guess, I don't know.
Well, they do it now. I mean, they'll call you and ask you, is this Mrs. Abagnale? Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. And then the next thing you know, they send you a bill. And when you call up and say, I never ordered this. Oh, yes, we have you recorded on the phone. And then they play a message that, did you order? Are you ordering this device? And you go, yes, I am. You know, they do that now.
God. Oh, man. Life is scary. Every time there's progress, you have to think about everything else that's outside your line of vision. Because we as humans only see the good things. So we see uniforms, but we don't see imposters in uniforms. You know, we see signs that say out of order, but we don't see the secret, you know, why that's there. Like, we have to keep thinking.
Absolutely. And I think someone like you and I, we're very streetwise because of the way we were raised, the way we grew up, the way we know what's going on around us. But unfortunately, most people are not like that. They're extremely naive. And so unfortunately, they become victims. And I always tell people, you know, got to think before you act. If people start asking you information or asking you for money, you know, that's a red flag. You got to make sure you know who you're doing business with. Just got to start using a little common sense, and you have to be certainly a lot smarter today as a consumer and a business person than you did 25 years ago.
So last question, where can people learn more about you and what you're doing and if they want more information?
I do have a website. It's just my name, abagnale.com. Mm-hmm. And obviously I sell no products or provide services. It's strictly an educational site. So I write things on there constantly dealing with identity theft, embezzlement, check forgery, even short change artists, credit card scams. So people can go there under publications or articles with Frank Abagnale and get a lot of information about how to protect themselves. If they have a small business, how to protect that. I will tell you the last thing that I'm hoping to end my career with is working on a new technology called Trusona. I'm a big believer that passwords are for tree houses. They should never be used as we use them today. It's a 1964 technology, and it's one of the reasons we have all the problems we do. So Trusona is a new technology to get rid of passwords, and I think in the next 2 or 3 years we'll see passwords go away, and it's long past due. It's something we've needed for a long time.
Well, that's interesting. Okay, I just have one more question then. What do you replace? Okay, a password is something. It's like saying we're no longer going to be using our fingers. You know, right. I've got something like a password is so ingrained in our lives now. So what is the replacement?
And that's a slow process. So we believe that everything is. And when you go to Trusona.com, which just stands for True Persona, you see it actually. They demonstrated how it works for you. And many of the major banks around the world are already using it. Major insurance companies are already using it. But basically, we know that everything's going to come down to your phone. Your phone is going to be the device you do everything on, whether we like it or not. Mm-hmm. So the first thing we did is to make sure you can never replay anything on that phone. So when you, for example, the best way to describe it is you'll be able to go up to your ATM now, pull out your phone, press down your thumb, which identifies yourself, or use your passcode if you prefer, and up on your screen will pop a QR code, but it's moving back and forth, so you can't copy it. It's encrypted. It's there for 28 seconds. You clip your phone on it and snap a photo of it, and you're in your ATM. You will no longer need to have an ATM card. You'll no longer have to have a password, and it will absolutely identify you as being on the other end of that device. And that's the kind of technology we need to get out of this whole password, which is why we have all the problems we have today.
Yeah. Well, Frank, excellent, excellent conversation. I've learned a lot, and now I'm extra paranoid. So Frank Abagnale, awesome. Hope to meet you in person one day.
Me too, and it's been great, Greg.
Good, awesome. Take care, sir.
Thank you.